Dr. Timothy Price, Reverend Will Inman, Reverend Brian Williams is here. God is good.
Amen.
To all our deacons, all the saints who are here, look at you. Could have stayed home today, but you came to church. I wonder how that happens sometimes. God knew we needed these testimonies. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Somebody's been discouraged. But the testimonies will lift your spirits. So we're grateful for that. I want you to look with me for a little while. Book of 2 Corinthians. You have your Bible. Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. I'm not going to be long today because I think a lot has been said already. And we thank you so much. But if you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. I want to focus your attention on that. Chapter 13, 2 Corinthians. Those who are able to stand, we do that as a sure respect to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Only if you're physically able. I'm going to read from New American Standard this morning. If you follow me along. Scripture reads like this, chapter 13. This is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I previously said when present the second time, and though now absent, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past and to all the rest as well, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone. Verse 3 says, since you are seeking for proof of the Christ who speaks in me and who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we shall live in him because of the power of God directed toward us. Verse 5 says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith and examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is where? In you, unless indeed you fail the test. And three things we're going to talk about from this set of scriptures. First, Jesus comes repeatedly. Jesus comes repeatedly. Second, Jesus will not spare. He will not spare. And thirdly, Jesus will test us. We're here at church today. God bless you. Thank you for standing. We're here at church today because of God.
Amen.
Does anybody believe that?
Amen.
You know, we've been conditioned to think that if we just stay fit, we get up every morning, we make sure we exercise, we eat right, everything's going to be all right. But the fact is, if God is not with us, we are in trouble.
Amen.
Will somebody say amen?
Amen?
I hope that's what the testimonies remind us sometimes. We don't need to come to church just to check off the box.
Amen.
Will somebody say amen?
Amen?
It's easy to check off the box and say, I'm good.
Amen.
I showed up.
Amen.
God ought to bless me. I come by with my first news flash. God won't bless us just because we exist. It's about faithfulness. God wants our faithfulness.
Amen.
And so when we talk about God and how good he is, our subject this morning is Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And we've got to stop as church people and people who say we believe, we got to stop thinking that somehow the world is winning this battle. I hear too many people talking about the world is in control. They're not in control. They ain't running nothing. Let me use my proper English. They ain't running nothing. God is good. because Jesus is alive. And so when we look at this scripture, the 2 Corinthians, you know this book written by Apostle Paul, but he's sharing with the people that Jesus comes repeatedly. What do you mean, preacher? The scriptures opens up saying, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed. I would stop there a minute and remind us as church people, don't tell anybody something about God that's not in the Bible.
Amen.
Will somebody say amen?
Amen?
This idea that you just speak words and it's going to come to pass. Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Nowhere. And we as individuals need to stop telling people and repeating to people things are not in the Bible, but things we want the Bible to say. Jesus comes repeatedly. Now, why is this important? Because it's easy to think that because I'm a church person, I got my name on the church roll, I tithe, I give more money than many people, that God has to bless me. Here's my second newsflash. God don't owe us nothing. Will somebody say amen? Yes, he's in the blessed business. He is a provider. Don't get me wrong. And these testimonies confirm that. But Sister Edith was blessed because God was on her side. Reverend Inman is here this morning because God is on his side. And all of us ought to be that same way. Don't let anybody love God for you. Love God for yourself. He's worthy to be praised. And God, we are reminded Jesus is alive. Because sometimes in our churches, we get so focused on the crucifixion. You know, the crucifixion and then the resurrection. And we ought to be talking about that. Because without that, we have nothing. But God does so much more for us than just get up out of the grave. He's available every day. Does anybody believe it? Every day he touches us, he moves us, he confirms us, he gives us comfort and peace. I was telling the people this morning, I don't know how some people make it in life without God on their side. It's hard to understand. But the truth is, they're not really living. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
They can exist. They might be the one who owned the company where we work. But if they don't know God for themselves, they're not really living. Jesus comes repeatedly. So the scripture reminds us here. He says in verse 2, I previously said when present a second time. Because you know he came in and he ministered more than once. He said, though now absent, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past. And to all the rest as well. That if I come again, I will not spare anyone. I will not spare anyone. Some folks think they're getting away with stuff.
Yeah.
Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
You know, they think, well, I've heard this from everybody. It's not going to affect me. There's no consequence. But Jesus would remind us, you're not getting away with anything.
Yeah,
I'm not getting away with anything. Our behavior matters.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
We got to learn as people, even church people, it is possible to live a holy life. Does anybody believe it? It's possible to live a holy life. I'm not saying a person needs to be at church every time the door open. But I believe that. But I know that many people that don't understand that. What I'm saying is any time we can worship God, wherever we are, we ought to lift him up. Cannot be ashamed to let people know you love the Lord. We can't be bashful about telling somebody the good news. That's why we're here.
Yes.
To worship God in spirit and in truth. And that worship can come at your workplace. Can come in a supermarket. Can come when you're at the park playing tennis or golf or whatever it is. God can come because he comes repeatedly. Some of y'all know that God can come and he can stir you at the most unusual time. Anybody else but me, sometimes you get up at night. Is that, am I the only one? Sometimes you just can't sleep. and you find yourself stirred, and sometimes I've even gotten in my car,
all right,
2 o'clock at night,
all right,
riding around,
my Lord.
And then I just think, God is so good. Because
yes,
he didn't owe me anything. But he can provide peace in the most unusual ways. And that's only if we trust him. We don't want to be people who are attending church, but we don't really trust God. Huh? We don't want to be people that's afraid to talk to somebody else because they might turn us in to the people we work for. Let them turn us in. Turn us in. I know somebody who can come to our rescue if they turn us in. Oh, God is just, he's just a mighty good God. And so the scriptures here say we need to examine ourselves because Jesus will not spare anybody. And what I mean by that is God is good, yes. God is merciful. He's holy. He's all those things. But I told you before, last time I was up, that God has another side. He expects something from us when we say we're believers. He expects us to defend him. Now, he doesn't need us. Huh? He doesn't. He can do it all by himself. But when we declare that we are children of God, something ought to come with that. Our fear ought to go away. We can't worry about that. Because through it all, God can provide. We were out yesterday. We were riding around. Y'all have heard the story before. I like to drive. So I decided yesterday to go up to Onalaska, right off Highway 59. But it's such a peaceful place and beautiful place, just a little quaint community. But when you get around some of those things where you see God moving, you know it's not about us. It's about God. How he can take a simple place and give you such peace, but just being there. And I say that because I think there are far too many Christians who don't allow God to expand their thinking. Go outside. Look up at the sun. And we ought to know mankind can't do that. Look at these trees that grow outside. 50, 60, in some cases 300 feet tall. We can't do that. But when we know that it's God moving around us, what does that put on us? What should we be doing? Acknowledging that God is real. Telling somebody that God is holy. He is a mighty good God. I hear the testimonies, and I know the testimony is not the end. These testimonies that you hear, these people are living out a God-filled life. There's a work that God has set aside for them in the testimonies. And it's the same for all of us. Is there anybody here who might think that you don't have a testimony from God? You do. Now, you may not speak like Joe or Mary, but just sharing what you have is what God wants you to do. It's what God wants me to do. And so the rest of the scriptures here go on to tell us not only does Jesus come repeatedly, and not only does he say he will not spare, but he said he's going to test us. Some people are afraid of tests. You know how we can be sometimes. A little nervous. Maybe I didn't study enough or whatever it is. But the truth is when Jesus tests us, we got to pass. There's no such thing as Jesus coming to us. And we cannot declare that we love him. Can't be bashful. We cannot be ashamed. Sometimes people think, especially in church, well, everybody else can do things so much better than I can. And it's not true. Do you see what I'm saying? You're the one who has the power to declare that you are on God's side. Grandma can't do it. For you or for me. My mom, my dad can't do it for us. I learned from them, but they can't declare that I love the Lord. They can speak the words, but it's only valid when God will say, yeah, yeah, you're on my side. And so what I would encourage you this morning, be on God's side. Don't just wear the label. Be on Jesus' side. Let him be our leader and our guide. He is a way maker. Huh, anybody believe it? Come on, raise your hand if you believe it. He's a way maker. He's a way maker. Far too many people, even church people, do not turn to Jesus when they should. We'll turn to everybody else. Even calling somebody in California to say they know what's going on in our life. As a tarot shop down here on the corner. One block away from the church house. And they telling people, come on in, I can tell you what your future is. My last news flash is they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what God can do for me. They don't know what's coming next week and next year. But I know somebody who is able to do anything but fail. Will somebody say hallelujah? He can do anything but fail. He is a mighty, mighty God. I remember it wasn't too long ago. I couldn't get up. Couldn't get up off the sofa. Had to depend on my wife. Had to depend on my son, Jarrell. But God made a way. He made a way. He didn't owe that to me. He made a way. And now I feel like I can help let somebody know that God is real. I'm not ashamed to tell people I love a holy God. I praise a holy God. He is worthy to be praised. It's not just in a hymn book. He is worthy to be praised. I got some witnesses here. He's been worthy to anybody? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is a mighty good God. A mighty good God. I see, I can get testimony from the saints because you know what I know. But just remember this. There are many people in the world who don't know who Jesus is. And I find this, there are many people in churches who have never out of their own mouth say, Lord, I love you. Many people in churches, it's time to put that to rest. If you believe God is real, help me. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Out of my mouth, Lord, I love you. I praise your holy name. And you know why we want to say that? Because do you realize that yesterday could have been our last day? Does anybody realize yesterday could have been the last time driving down the highway, going out to the lake, seeing what God had provided for us? Could have been the last day. But he spared us one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah to a holy God. He is good. He's worthy, deacon. He's good. Worthy to be lifted up. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I testify he lifted me. You can testify he lifted you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you why we get excited when we talk about the church mothers who are able to come to church. And they're older than 50 years old. But they want to be at church. And God can open a door that nobody else can close. That's why we celebrate. We see God and how he moves. And I say all that to tell you, God loves you. He loves you. Let's be careful. Don't ever let anybody else in the world take away that love you have for Jesus Christ. He is mighty. He is holy. I feel so good about Pilgrim Branch. I just know God has been good to this church, to people who walk through that door. I didn't know why, but he has work for all of us to do. He'll take this little band of believers and he'll allow us to grow and let somebody know that he is real. I still write poetry. I have a poem and I call it, I have about 50 poems. But one is about football. And I'm going to read it. I may not have next week. Thank you. We say this all the time. Y'all excuse me. I say this all the time that we don't know what's coming tomorrow. But I got it. Let me see if I can find it. I call it football. So close to death. There's a game we love to play, not realizing that any day we might collapse or just drop out and never rise again. A sweep that's run around the end, a pass that makes us stretch again. A block that feels a little wrong could bring me pain, my siren song. This game that I so love, if someone told me this could come from scoring big, from having fun, would I take this helmet off? I want to fly like eagles do. I want to fly like eagles do. I want respect from others too. I want to hear the crowd erupt when I finally make a play. I want to cross the goal line that seems so far away. I want to hear my teammates say we'll win this game today. They talk about the pain, about the sacrifice, but I just want to suit up. I just want to fight. Is the violence worth it, knowing I could be the one who does not rise when the whistle blows, that I could just succumb? The hit was clean, the play was fair. This game was still in doubt. But now the crowd is moaning. I hear nobody shout. I guess we're always close to death, and life is just a game. We're always trying to score a point. We always want the fame. So I punch my clock or earn my salary. They may not call it football. And no one cheers for me. Sometimes the gladiator falls. Sometimes the team will lose. But give me one more chance to sharpen up my tools. Let me fight a valiant fight. Let me give my best. No matter what my uniform, one day I must rest. So on this field of battle, I'll lay my weapons down. Because football is my lifeblood. Football is my crown. Amen. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He is a mighty good God. And we're going to stop right there. I'm thankful for today. Thankful for you being present. Thankful for Sister Edith and Reverend Inman. May God bless and keep you. We're going to open the doors of the church now. If our deacons would come.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."